All right, if you can kneel, let's do it. It's time to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with a Sabbath day where we can rest and be blessed. Thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. We also have a special prayer request this morning, Father, for all the brethren in the Philippines. I just got a phone call from Pastor Craig, and the typhoon is missing them, but they are getting slammed pretty hard with the edge of it. And so we're praying, Father, that you keep them safe. You keep the hedge of angels around them like you did last time, and let everything be okay. And thank you so much for all the trials that you allow to come that help us to grow. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing from unrighteousness, the latter rain, the faith that moves the mountains, everything that we're going to need to do this work that you have called us to do. And please bless all those that are in attendance today. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Let's see. Thank you. All right, we left off at, where was it, question number four. I'm going to go into question number five today. Hopefully I can get through it, because I cover an awful lot in that one, and it's just mostly about everything that's happening today. But question number four, it says, he will cause the world to do what? And for those of you that are following along, scroll underneath the chat room, you'll see the study that we're doing, and the one that's being spoken of here, of course, is the beast. I believe it's the second beast. It says, Revelation 13:12, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Well, this is happening right now. Years ago, I did a video titled Active Worship, wherein I show pictures of many heads of state, as well as the common man, and woman for that matter, bowing before the popes in worship. They actually even go so far as to kiss his hand and all that, and the kiss of the ring, and there are also photos of young priests, novice priests, laying prostrate before the Pope, where they lay down in worship on their face, on the ground, in front of him. But then on January 29th of this this year, I did a video titled The Wound is Healed, wherein I show a prophetic as well as current event facts proving the mortal wound of 1798 is in fact healed. And a lot of people have a hard time understanding that, but if you study the way, well, if you just watch the video, I let the Bible verses talk for themselves. But anyway, as students of prophecy, we knew this day was coming. We knew that before it was to come. A great falling away must come first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, we have documentation in droves proving the popes of Rome declare themselves a God on earth, and we also know by reading the statement of faith of every church denomination out there, including the Ninth Hour Church, that a great falling away has happened. But for the babes in Christ that have yet to decipher the difference between Bible doctrine and Roman dogma, let's look at the fruits of all the churches of the present day. And I'll just zip through this real quick. I'm not going to dwell on any of them. But when I mention these things, you're going to know, yeah, all the other churches are pushing this stuff. For example, they're all declaring that Allah is God. They all declare that homosexuality is no big deal. Homosexual marriage is acceptable. This includes the Ninth Hour Church, by the way, all the stuff I'm saying here. None of them preach prophecy, not for current events. I mean, some of them preach the old standards that anybody could do, but they're not preaching current, prophecy. They all keep Sunday holy, and yes, they all keep Sunday holy. They all embrace the pagan festivals of Christmas, Easter, Halloween, Valentine's Day, whatever, with the exception of the Ninth Hour Church. They all teach eternal life and hellfire, secret rapture, and a future great tribulation. Yeah, but that doesn't mean the Ninth Hour Church is still safe to be in. Okay. Over 90% of them teach alcohol, tobacco, and unclean cancer-causing meats are okay to consume. Divorce is okay. Hollywood movies and TV are acceptable pastimes. Fiction, mostly, mainly. Gambling and violent sports are fun. Homosexual men and even women can stand as pastors and conference presidents. They all agree it's okay to vote as long as you vote for their favorites, which means the lesser of two evils, which means you're still voting for evil. Abortion is acceptable in all the churches, and yes, that includes the Ninth Hour one, because as well as the Church of Rome, that has numerous hospitals that kill babies. All of the churches, without exception, have agreed to allow the Pope to lead them, which also lends itself to the prophecy that declares all will worship after the Pope. They have all agreed a new denomination is, like called Chrislam, where they mix Christianity and Islam together. All of them have leaders that either attack their women or molest their children, and all of them invest the tithe and all sorts of evil products in the stock market. They all sue each other. They all worship money. And all of them have joined as one to help create the long prophesied image of the beast in Rome. Every single one of them have done that. And no, this was by no means an exhaustive list of open corruption in all the churches. But I do think I got my point across that a great falling away has indeed occurred. And we, the obedient remnant, do in fact know who the man of sin and son of perdition is. But it seems the rest of them just don't get it. They don't see him as a problem. They literally call him Holy Father or Your Holiness. Because some of them do get offended by the term Holy Father, because they know what the Bible says in John chapter 17. So they'll just call him Your Holiness, and that's bad enough, I mean, but still. Anyway, question number 5. Now, this one's going to take a bit. And I want to thank the brothers and sisters that attend on Wednesday nights with us for prophecy study. Next week, we're starting a new thing where we're going to be doing studying in the book of Daniel and any other new topics that come up along the way. The main crux of the Wednesday night will be Daniel till we get through it, but every now and then, we might not even do anything on Daniel if one of the brothers or the sisters get an email or have a question in regards to prophecy and we need to go over it. So we put Daniel on the back burner for that time. But, the main thing will be Daniel as we go through it. So anyway, like I say, this is a question we've been discussing lately on Wednesday night prophecy studies. We have found via extensive study in Scripture and other trusted resources that what we see happening here in this passage is again brought up in question number 7. So I'm only going to touch on this in passing for now, because in question number 7, the connection between the fire coming down from heaven and the image of the beast is brought to light, and I don't want to muddy the waters here at all in that respect. So what great wonders will he do? Question number 5. Revelation 13:13 says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Now, suffice it to say, this event will be done in 3 ways as far as we all can see. It will be done in a spiritual manner, which I'll touch on in a moment. It'll be done in a physical manner, which we'll get into later. And it will be mankind being used of Satan to do it in a deceptive manner, which in some cases can be seen already upon us. Well, 2 of these actually are already upon us. What I mean here is, as we found in the scriptures, just as men were educated by Satan in Pharaoh's day to perform what some may see as magic or miraculous, and yes, I am referring to the magicians in Pharaoh's court that manifested the serpents using satanic enchantments, there are some doing the exact same thing today. And for the new in the truth, Exodus chapter 7, verses 9 to 12 says, "When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron," take the, this is the Lord talking to Moses, by the way, Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod and became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So that being said, I can see men educated of Satan using dark arts to make it appear as if fire can come down from heaven today in local areas as well as on camera. Everything from technology, and that entails laser beams to holograms, to actual demonic manifestation, of which some of us have that have dabbled in the black arts before finding Christ know all too well are very real. Stuff's real. It's out there. Today, this is a reality in that we do have lasers, and we can now shoot aircraft out of the sky with these lasers and blind thousands of troops permanently in an instant, you know, just by having them look up. We also have holograms that can make fire appear to float in a room without burning anything. We now have HARP that can heat up the atmosphere by swelling it to make clouds appear to glow as if they're burning, or even dance in different shapes instantaneously, as some have seen firsthand. Some of you have seen that video on YouTube, I'm sure. This same technology can create beams of fire coming from the sky that burn up dolphins in the ocean. In fact, there's a YouTube video on that too as well. Brother Scott shared it with me a couple, 3 weeks ago. But we also have the spiritual or strange fire we see coming from all churches as we speak. So as we look around, and especially over the last few decades, we have seen all sorts of lying wonders performed by Satan and his cohorts, or his magicians, or his sorcerers. And Catholics especially have fallen for this great deceiver in that whenever they see an image of Jesus or Mary in a burnt piece of toast or on a stain on an overpass, they bow down before it and worship it as if it's a great sign from heaven. In fact, when this happened in Chicago a few years ago, the mayor of the day had to literally whitewash and then lie about it and say that he didn't do it. Somebody came out, the scuttlebutt was the mayor that actually did it, but somebody came out and painted the wall where there was a water stain that looked like the Virgin Mary, according to the Catholics. And so all of a sudden, you got hundreds of Catholics out there under an overpass from an off-ramp, and they're all in harm's way. Cars are zipping by real fast, and someone's going to get hurt. So they just whitewashed it. And it happened, too, in I think it was Champaign, Illinois. There was a hospital, I think it was Carl Hospital, that one of the windows, the gas plasma windows, leaked. And you know how what happens when them things leak? They get like a milky film inside of them. Well, it looked like the Virgin Mary, according to some people. And so everybody was on, I forget what road it is, but it was the main road coming off of the highway, off of 74. And they were blocking traffic, you know, with their rosaries and praying to it and all this other weird stuff. But now, have you noticed how the Pentecostals have kicked it up a notch in the last few decades? It's no mistake they finally joined with Rome via a global announcement back in February of 2014, wherein Kenneth Copeland and Pope Francis proclaimed their ecumenical agreement before thousands of Pentecostal pastors. That wasn't a church service. That was a convocation of pastors. Those thousands of men are going to go out to their thousands of churches where they all have anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 members, and they're going to tell them all, like they said on this camera, that we are all Roman Catholic now. So we all saw that happen in February. That church spearheaded the arrival of the false charismatic movement that brought in yet another supposed sign from heaven, wherein the pastors lay hands on the sinners, and they collapse on stage. They start barking like dogs or bouncing around like fish out of water, or even laugh uncontrollably, as we saw in the Toronto Blessing of Canada. All these Pentecostal pastors claim this is a great wonder from the Holy Spirit. In fact, some of them even describe their fellow pastors on camera as pastors of signs and wonders, just as the prophecy describes, which also shows nobody's reading their Bibles out there. And this shows how deceived the Pentecostal people have become at the same time. Do a little research on their methods, and you'll find it's an ancient satanic manifestation of a demonic spirit that possesses the person. It's been given a name to make it appear harmless to New Agers and Middle Eastern mystics. It's called the Kundalini, and it first became popular in the 1960s here in the Western world. And I have to wonder, though, if the Beatles and their introduction to Middle Eastern mystics to the American public through their music had anything to do with it gaining popularity here in the States, but I kind of think it did. Anyway, they falsely define this kundalini as an energy that is sleeping within every human being, and when awakened by a religious leader, it can cause all sorts of graphic reactions. Well, if you check out the videos on YouTube where there's actual Middle Eastern mystics, where they so-called, they lay hands on people and they say they awaken this kundalini in some poor souls, and then compare them to what you see at Pentecostal church meetings, where they say the people are supposedly slain in the spirit. You'll see the exact same spirit of Satan displayed in both instances to the letter. It's no different. And yes, what you're watching is people actually being possessed by demons on camera. If you open a Bible, you will not find a single instance where a Christian is slain in the spirit of God and that begins to bark, laugh, or bounce around on the floor as evidence the Holy Spirit was upon them. In fact, when people do such things, they appear to be possessed of demons in the Word. I mean, need I remind you of the little lad that the apostles had difficulty wherein Jesus said in Matthew 17:21, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting"? When it comes to this strange fire that is prophesied to come down in the sight of men, as we know, Satan is going to use every tool in his bag of tricks to get as many souls into hellfire as possible. And as prophesied, it's also going to come, he's going to come in person to deceive many, and then you're going to see a physical manifestation of this. And we can expect he will claim on every TV camera around the world and even use supernatural manifestations before many that he is the Christ. He will also claim to be the great medical missionary to this earth. It's no mistake the number of new diseases has literally gone off the chart in recent years so as to allow this mockery of this great being who calls himself the great physician, which is blasphemous. I mean, that's our Lord. Jesus is the great physician. But Satan needs a captive audience. And every soul he deceives by performing his demonic healings upon them will be very convincing advocates for their final deception upon all mankind. In fact, this deception has already begun. When it comes to this strange spiritual fire that comes down in the sight of man, we've already seen men like Benny Hinn growling the word fire during his so-called anointed events on stage. He even claims this fire comes down from heaven when he supposedly heals people on stage. But we need to address the fact that if it wasn't for the technology and popularity of the second beast, or America as we call it today, Benny Hinn and many other Pentecostal preachers out there that have joined recently with Rome would never have been able to deceive anyone. The second beast's popularity has granted these men mighty methods by which to deceive the masses. And Benny Hinn, for one, has been recorded many times on camera, as well as in front of tens of thousands at each of these massive crusades that he does, declaring, literally, almost word for word, that fire is coming down from heaven in the sight of men. In fact, I put the words, Benny Hinn fire anointing, into YouTube. And when I checked this back on November 5th, which was, a month ago? When I was doing this study, there were 34,900 videos showing him supposedly using this fire from heaven on camera. In one video, he actually, and I shared this last night or a couple of weeks, or no, Wednesday, I think I shared this video in the room. You can't see it. Well, you could if you want to look at the link. I'll give it, if anybody wants this video, I'll send it to you, the link, after church. But he repeatedly says, fire upon you and your ministries, as he's knocking these people down on stage in this, you know, big Pentecostal church. And then they all collapse in the exact same way as those that are under, you know, that demonic Kundalini movement that in the 1960s. And if you watch the video, notice how he actually growls the word fire upon you to these men repeatedly over and over. He literally sounds like he's growling, like he it sounds demonic. He does not sound like a man of God. But the video that I have with the link is 4 minutes long. And let me see if I copied a hyperlink. Yeah, that's it. So just that's the link in the room if you want it. Just watch it after church later on. But so it's no mistake. The Pentecostal people named themselves as such. What happened on Pentecost 2,000 years ago? It lets the cat out of the bag. It's in Acts chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, and it says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, you got to understand, the devil knows prophecy better than any of us. And he also knows he has to set the people up so that when he does this fake miracle of, an actual miracle of fire coming out of the heavens, because he's an angel, so he can do that stuff. He's fallen angel, yeah, but he's still an angel, so he can do that kind of stuff. But he has to set the people up. He has to condition them in advance. And this is one of the reasons we see the strange fire of the Pentecostal churches, and it was no mistake that they joined with Rome in February of this year. So the Pentecostal churches of the world have twisted this beautiful event of Christ's Holy Spirit coming upon his obedient bride 2,000 years ago to appear as if speaking gibberish today makes them holy and filled with Pentecostal fires. I go into much detail about this, of course, on my Tongues page on the website, showing how demonic the Pentecostal movement truly is. And if you open a Bible, you'll see how, and this is one of the reasons when Fran and I were doing the church hopping thing before we started keeping Sabbath, we happened to cross a couple of these Pentecostal churches. And the main reason we left, because we know what the Bible says about translating. We also know what it says about tongues. And first of all, it's going to be a language somebody knows. It's not going to be what they call a heavenly language. It's going to be an actual human language. And the reason it's used is for, like, for example, let's say you're standing in front of a bunch of people that speak Italian and all you know is English. You start preaching in English and they're going to hear you in Italian. That's tongues. And plus, if anybody has to do the tongues thing in the church, like say you've got a bunch of people in the church and they all speak English, but there's like a family of Italians and the Holy Spirit needs for them to hear something, someone will step up and speak their language, and then someone will translate for them what they said. And the Bible says two or three at the most should do that. And if there are no translators, no one should be allowed to do it. But walk into a Pentecostal church, they're all doing it, and no one translates because they can't. It's an easy miracle to fake, or easy fruit to fake. So, anyway, going on. I believe this false fire of Benny Hinn, as well as the many other Pentecostal preachers, and this includes the demonic apparitions that began in 1917 in Portugal that the Vatican is promoting concerning Mary appearing, as well as the sun dancing in front of all the people one day, is the fire coming down in the sight of men in the spiritual as well as demonic sense. In fact, on that day in 1917, it had been raining all day long when the sun came out and it danced around in the sky, which made the people joyful. That is until it appeared as if it was actually falling from the heavens towards the earth. As is apparent, we didn't have the technology in 1917 that we have today. So this strange fire in the sight of men was purely demonic in nature, and it worked to deceive many. And I remember reading about this in old newspapers of the day when I was a teenager doing research in the public libraries as my mom sought out her fresh batch of novels for the week. I was the only one that brought her to the... My mom never learned how to drive a car. So I was always elected to do that. Hold on. Let me just hit the ignore button. All right. It's the ministry phone. So, as I was saying, I'm in a library, and I recall in vivid detail how the people panicked when they thought the sun was crashing to the earth. They even had photos. You know, because I'm looking at the microfilm. They used to, because I liked it because they looked like computer screens, and so I got into it. but it was a well-known event to all the Catholics at the time. Directly after the demonic vision ceased, everyone noticed how the previously saturated muddy ground was miraculously dried up from the heat of the falling sun. Hollywood even made a movie about this back in the 60s. My parents insisted we all sit down as a family to watch it that day. It came out. So this demonic act caused the Catholic Church to explode in growth. The fact Hollywood and the American churches promoted this event also caused it to spread globally, and the Catholic Church grew in great numbers. Still, I do believe there's also a literal meaning to this fire that is to come down from heaven so as to make men trust the second beast and fall in worship of the first. According to the prophecy, Revelation 13, verses 11 to 13, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." We all know that's America. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. That's what America's doing now. They're starting to speak as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Well, that's already happened. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down of heaven and on the earth in sight of men. So that means the American government will literally have to cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men to prove to the more doubting among the people of the world that they need to believe that the first beast or the Roman Catholic Vatican or the Pope himself is worthy of worship. I won't go into this now, but I do want to go into detail on this later in an upcoming question so as to show the order by which this all happens. There is historic evidence regarding this, and it even locks down the Holy Spirit revealed to me something, you know, back in years ago in regards to the 501c3 and the image of the beast. But again, we'll get into this later. And by the way, we also have to take into account the false prophet will be doing his work at this time as well. But that's a whole other study that we'll get into someday. So yes, it appears we are closer to the promised land than most realize. But we are not to worry. Because, if you stay in the Word and pray often, the Lord has promised you his elect cannot be deceived by this fallen angel. The easiest way to see he is a liar is that when he manifests himself before all, he will, of course, declare Bible truths to many that are actually perfect in clarity and truth for the most part. But he will also declare bold-faced lies at the same time. And the fact most people already trust false doctrines as truth will make this job of his an easy task. And what I mean is, how hard is it going to get to get the people that already believe in a 7-year trib or eternal life and fire or Sunday Sabbath to get them to believe another lie? It's not that hard to do because they've already believed all the other lies. And the only reason they're believing all the other lies is because they won't open their Bibles. And if they do, they have that same demon that's been messing with people for eons that says their creed is above the Bible, which means if your pastor says Sunday's the Sabbath, you'll have to believe your pastor over your Bible, even though your Bible doesn't say anything about the seventh, about the first day Sabbath replacing the seventh day Sabbath anywhere from Genesis to Revelation. If you read the Bible and you realize that, but then you decide to go ahead and believe Sunday's the Sabbath anyway because your leaders tell you so, well, then you're going to be in the same boat that the people 2,000 years ago were in when the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, ignore Jesus Christ. They trusted their leaders over and above that which was written about who was going to show up at that time. But the elect of God that stay in the Word will easily see all of this as being false. They don't have to worry about all these, you know, false doctrines or this, you know, stuff that the Vatican or the other churches are doing. And that's also why we're going to be targeted with even more hatred as the days get closer. Because we have the truth. And this is why some of us are being attacked like we are. The majority of the world won't see what we see because they have been conditioned by Satan's wolves in sheep's clothing for many years. I mean, lies have become their truth, and so God's word won't move them away from their false god. In fact, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So if you study the prophecies, you know that Satan will even uplift the Pope of the day as if he is to be trusted. And he'll act like Jesus when he's doing it, right? Saying that this Pope's okay. And many will believe him, that he's Jesus incarnate. I mean, seriously, have you seen how many trust the Pope of today as if he's a living saint? Elton John, one of the more vocal advocates for homosexuality, declared in October of 2014 that Pope Francis should be declared a saint immediately, right now, because of his work with homosexuals. There's even many works of art and graffiti showing up all over Rome wherein they declare this pope to be a super pope for his work with the homosexuals. They even have him, like this graffiti, this artwork where he's flying around with a cape on, like he's a superhero. And it's no mistake either. The homosexual is Satan's prized trophy in that he has been able to make man, who was created in the image of God, perform perverted acts so that make the Creator look to be a lesser God to many, especially when these homosexuals claim to be Christian leaders. But one of the easiest, one of the easiest signs that expose this fallen angel is how the true Christ is revealed in Scripture as appearing at the last time. And it says it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, it says this. Here it is. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He doesn't even touch the planet, right? And so shall they ever be with the Lord. In other words, this lying demon that stands on earth can't possibly be Christ Jesus, because our Lord, our Savior, our King does not touch the planet at his second coming at all. We meet him in the air. But the majority of the people out there that use bogus Bibles and trust their false pastors are saying otherwise, just like they did 2,000 years ago. So many people believe in a 1,000-year period of peace on earth, wherein the devil has taught them that Christ will reign on earth for 1,000 years, and the Christians will rule in the world, in a world of loving peace, right? And this is the exact same lie Satan used on the Jews 2,000 years ago. It worked so well then, he's repeating it now. But only now he stands before all as the glorified Messiah, so that even more are going to believe in him. He'll be able to get billions of them this time. And not just one nation like Jerusalem. He'll be able to get billions to believe him, because of what he's been setting up all along for the last 2,000 years. You need to keep in mind that Satan is an angel, a fallen angel, yes, but an angel nonetheless. When he stands before men or even Christians who disobey Jesus, he will have them as easy prey. And yes, many Christians will disobey Jesus, who clearly said in Matthew 24, verses 26 and 27, he said this: "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert," and they're saying it right now. As a matter of fact, Benny Hinn said it 2 or 3 years ago. Jesus Christ is showing up in the deserts right now, according to him, to the Muslims. That's what he said on camera. I kid you not. So they're going to say, "He is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers." Benny Hinn also said that too, that he meets them behind closed doors. And then the Bible says, "Believe it not." Jesus said, "Believe it not." And then he explains why. He says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, don't believe him when they say, "Hey, come over here, check it out. He's in the desert. Oh, no, you can't see him now, but let's just go for a cruise. We'll see him. He's in the desert." Don't believe it. Or they say, "Oh, he's in the inner rooms. He's over at this house on a certain address down the street. Let's go down. He's going to be there at 4 o'clock today." Don't go there. Why? Because like the lightning that flashes from the east to the west is going to be like when Jesus gets here. You ain't going to miss it. No one's going to come up to you and say, "Hey, look, you know, he's going to be in a secret place," or "he's out someplace where you can't." Every eye on earth will see him. It can't be missed. It will literally light up the entire sky globally. So no one's going to miss it. So if they're coming up to you saying stuff like, "Hey, you know, check him out over here, check him out over here," says, don't go there. Even if, now here's what scares me for a lot of people, especially when, you know, when they're sick, is if, out of curiosity, you know, let's just say you're a Christian and you have a Christian friend who's sick, and the Lord has not healed that person because the Lord has his reasons for doing the things he does. A lot of times he's glorified through sickness. I mean, some of the people that are sick are really glorifying the Lord in a mighty way, the way they handle this, what they're going through, right? And so, because a lot of us can't handle that kind of trial. That's why most of us aren't sick. But the ones that are, praise God for them, because they really show power of, you know, trust, you know. But some might get a little fed up. And let's just say you're sitting in your living room one day and someone that you know has been sick for decades, let's say, they walk into your house completely healed. And you're sick too, though, now. And you see this person who's completely healed. And he tells you, or she tells you, they went and saw Jesus and they healed him or her. Don't go there, because Jesus did not heal them. That is one of the final tricks that's going to happen. We know this for a fact because the Bible says he's going to go around healing people, right? And so even if you're curious, you know, because Jesus says don't go there. So even if you just go there, you're in disobedience. And the minute you stand in the presence of an angel, you can't handle it. I don't care how strong of a Christian you are. I don't care if you're a water walker. I don't care if you're John the Apostle. Because look what happened to him in Revelation 19 when that angel stood in front of him. Praise God, it was a good angel. The good angel said, "No, stop that." In today's language, he more or less says, "Hey, look, worship God and God alone. You know, I'm a fellow believer like you are." One last thing. The boldest, most perfect way to expose this demon claiming to be Christ isn't his false healings. It isn't him uplifting the Pope. It isn't his angelic appearance. It isn't his effect on the people you knew for years to be anti-Christian, who all of a sudden now are evangelists for this Jesus, for who they think is Christ. And it's not the way thousands of children are clamoring around him, and they make sure they show this in all these, you know, media outlets on camera at every taping. And it isn't even his ability to get the entire planet talking about him in every news broadcast, magazine, webpage, radio, or even video games that will make it easy for the elect to expose him as the Antichrist. That's easy enough. It will be his demand that everybody keep Sunday holy. This is one major key that the elect simply cannot swallow, even if they're a babe in that type of a walk with the elect or of the elect. You can't swallow, because we know the Bible says, for it is plainly written in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. That means unless you stay in the Word of God daily and pray as often as you can to the God you love, you will be in grave danger of being swept off your feet in rapturous waves of demonic, flesh-enticing love by this fallen angel. He's had 6,000 years to work on this attack that he's been perfecting against mankind to get to this feverish point. It's no mistake the churches teach all sorts of fables as doctrines and declare the Ten Commandments outdated and abolished. The people that trust the wolves in pastoral clothing will be no different than the poor souls that trusted the lying Pharisees 2,000 years ago, because they didn't study their Bibles for themselves and they trusted their church leaders to do it for them instead. Satan has an easy way to get into these kind of people, and all the churches, including the Ninth Hour Church, does this now. If you declare that your leaders in your church are doing something wrong, they kick you out. They disfellowship you. They want you to trust their leaders blindly. They're all doing it now. When he comes at the end, he will have a much easier go of it, because now he will have literally billions of people brainwashed and ready to spread his message for his long prophesied appearance, and he will have every tool he needs to appeal to the eyes of every man, woman, and child at his disposal. But the elect knows. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And I hope and pray you are blessed. I'll be back in a minute.